Our friend Howard Levitt, Canada's top employment lawyer, Levitt LLP, host of the Employment Law Show Sundays at 1, but he's also on with Jerry every day at 10. Howard Levitt, welcome back.
Well, thank you, as usual, for having me, Barb.
Great to have you. And I hear you pretty much, I think I hear you almost every morning with Jerry. And I was saying earlier, there is no end to questions and concerns. There's so much happening in employment right now.
Imagine 6-7 months later, and we're still doing it, what, 7 times a week, and no end.
And no end. I heard a great one today, and I was telling our listeners about it a bit earlier. A person who called in who said, I guess there might have been some kind of manager, and an employee chose to go to the States, and then when this person came back, they said, I have to quarantine for 2 weeks, and the company was sort of forced into letting them work remotely, and he wants to go back to the States for Christmas, and the company person asked you, do we have to accommodate him?
And the answer is no, they don't, because the reality is, they can say, we want you working in the office, and that means we're not going to let you work from home, and that means instead of 1 week off, you have to take 3 weeks off. You don't have another 3 weeks coming to you. So no, you better not go down if you want to come back to a job.
What if the person said, what if I do my quarantine unpaid leave?
It's up to the employer.
Yeah.
The employer might need them. But the reality is, employees are there because employers need them. They don't have unnecessary employees. So it's one thing to say, well, I won't charge you, but the reality is the employer is losing the advantage of having an employee there who knows the job and is doing the job. So it's not an answer to say it's an unpaid leave.
Right. And it's still your choice to go to the States or not with your week off. So you can't just automatically expect the company to accommodate you then needing another 2 weeks at home.
Correct, because that means they're taking 3 weeks off, not 1 week off. And they probably don't have 3 weeks available, especially after just having the other 3 weeks off.
416-872-1010. You can text us at 71010. Howard Levitt is here, Canada's top employment lawyer. If you have any questions regarding your employment situation, somebody writes in, I work in a retirement home. I have seen care managers not wearing masks properly and bosses in meetings every day not wearing a mask while in meetings. They are usually at least six, I don't know what that, and no social distancing. What can I do?
Well, the first thing they can do is let the retirement home know, because I suspect they will jump on it, given the outbreaks of COVID at retirement homes. They simply would find that impermissible because there's massive liability. So I suspect the home would crack down on it right away. Now, if that doesn't work, and I'm sure it will, because there's no one who has a better incentive to make sure it's done right in a retirement home right now as the retirement home operators, more than this employee. If they have an outbreak as a result of this kind of negligence, they could have millions of dollars in liability. The home could be shut down permanently. If that doesn't work, and it will work, then call a Ministry of Labor, Occupational Health and Safety inspector, and they will see if the procedures are being followed and shut it down otherwise, or at least order it to be followed. So they have real recourse, this texter.
Are you seeing, in the line of work that you're in, are you seeing complaints from people about people not following procedures with social distancing and masks when they are at work?
Only in call-in shows. not in my law practice. No, I'm really not hearing it at all.
Are there a lot of people still working? Are there still a lot of people working remotely of your clients?
There are, because I have a lot of big employers as clients, but I have lots of little employers too where they're not working remotely, and it just hasn't been a problem. I'm hearing a lot of the shows, but I wonder if it has reached the point of my clients. In other words, the employees aren't saying anything, the employer doesn't know about it, and the employees that tend to call me are not for professional advice, are prepared to pay a lot of money an hour, and they're probably not asking about these sorts of questions.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you are still, I know from listening to you, very busy every day with cases every day. We've got Howard Levitt here, 416-872-1010. Text us at 71010. Sandra is on the line. Hi, Sandra. Go ahead with Howard.
Hi, Howard. How are you?
I'm well, Sandra. How are you?
Oh, fine. Thank you. Howard, called to ask you, what's the responsibility of the employer to issue a record of employment after after termination?
They've got to do it within, I think it's, and again, these time limits, I always have to look them up again, but I think it's within 7 days of the last day of work.
I thought so. Now it's going on to 4 months, and I haven't received mine.
Well.
And I'm asking for one, and they're asking me to sign a release before they could issue it. And
Well, that's wonderful for you. You've hit the jackpot, because if that comes up in court, if they held a record of employment over your head in return for signing a release, mm-hmm. you will get extra damages for that.
Mm-hmm.
They have an obligation, but they can put whatever they want on it. Sometimes what's really going on is they are hoping, look, I don't know what your circumstance, but sometimes employers will say, I don't want to issue a record of employment, because if I do, I'm going to have to put down fired for cause. So I'm hoping I can work things out with the employee first. But if they push me too hard, I'll issue it all right, but they won't like what I issue. Now, that may not be your case at all. I don't know. If they're just extorting you in order to get a record of employment, well, it's foolish on the company's part, because at the end of the day, the court will give you punitive damages for that.
Right, right.
And by the way, you don't really need it. You can go to the EI yourself and file.
I needed to apply for EI.
No, you don't. You can go to EI yourself and say the company refuses to issue me a record of employment, and they'll give you EI without it. You don't have to wait and should not wait.
Okay. All right.
So don't kind of
Howard,
you should put this in writing. You should put in writing to the employer in an email so you have a record of it. You are not giving me my record of employment so I can apply for EI, holding me up from even getting EI until I sign a release, which I'm not prepared to sign. This is totally inappropriate. And see if that changes it. That might change it once it's in writing. Because right now they'll have deniability, just your word versus their word. That's one thing. But once you put it in writing, it'll go up to their lawyer. And I gather you're not signing the release because they haven't offered you very much. Is that correct?
That's right, yeah.
What do they offer you?
They're offering me a week to sign the release.
No, but what are they offering you in the release?
Just a week. Like in my contract, I had 4 weeks. So they said, for termination, if I was terminated. But they're giving me an extra week to sign the release.
So they're giving you 5 weeks then?
Yes.
Saying. But the release, the contract is probably not enforceable.
Mm-hmm.
So there's almost no enforceable contracts in Ontario anymore as a result of some recent cases. So let me ask you this. How old are you?
60.
Oh, that's great. How long have you been there?
Approximately 5 months.
Been there 5 months. Were you lured from another job, or were you unemployed when you took the job?
I was unemployed at the time.
Okay. What did you earn there?
$60,000.
$60,000. And what was your position?
An office manager.
Do you supervise anyone?
One staff.
Okay. The court would give you either 2 months or 3 months, not just 4 weeks or 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
I wouldn't sign it either.
So where do I go from here now?
Well, you write the letter I just told you to. I mean, when I send that letter, I mean an email, so you have a record of it.
Okay.
If they don't give you a record of employment after that, you will file for EI anyway without getting a record of employment, and you sue in small claims court for 3 months' pay. That's what you do right now.
Okay. Sounds
Sandra,
good.
Thank you very much for the call. Great
thank
stuff.
You.
Thank you. Great advice, too, Howard, that you don't need a record of employment to apply for EI.
It makes it easier, but you don't need one, because some employers simply are cussed and won't issue them for one reason or another. And so it can't prevent you from getting EI you paid into for however many years.
Howard Levitt is here, Canada's top employment lawyer with Levitt LLP, host of the Employment Law Show on Sundays at 1. He also joins Jerry every weekday at 10. Lots of employment stuff and changes all throughout this pandemic and the lockdown and everything that's a result of that. And Howard has been a great help through all of it. If you have any questions about your current employment situation, something that maybe just happened with your workplace, give us a call, 416-872-1010, or you can text us at 71010. Harjit Singh is on the line. Hi, Harjit.
Yes, please. How are you?
Great, thank you. Go ahead with Howard.
Hi, Howard. How are you? Great show. It's a really, really great show.
Thank you, Harjit.
My question, sir, thank you. My question is, I work a unionized company, and it's about 2 years in the union. And we are hourly paid millwright and electrician, and my job is electrician. There's one person who is on salary, but he does the same job what we do it, but he makes more than us. So a question is one time I heard on your show, I don't know for how wrong or right I am, is that there's one job, one same salary, something like that.
I've never said that.
He does the same job, and we ask him, the company, what is his title is. They never disclose. So it, to us, he comes regularly the way we come, you know, to do our job shift per shift. So, but he makes more than us because he's on salary.
Well, one has nothing to do with the other, but there is no rule against people making different amounts of money generally if you're not in a union. You could pay everybody differently, doing exactly the same job, as long as it's not based on race, creed, color, sexual orientation, or one of the few grounds of the Human Rights Code. But if you're in a union, then the salaries, whether it's salary or hourly, is dictated by the collective agreement. I have no idea what your collective agreement says. So you'd have to speak to the union and find out, or look at the collective agreement yourself.
I see.
But it's not
and they don't tell us properly
it's
either.
Not going to give you any additional rights. At best, it'll just knock his salary down.
Hmm. That'll go over well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So this is the possible.
That his salary could come down?
For like a 2 years now.
Look, I don't know what the collective agreement says. You're in a union. It's everything is in the collective agreement respecting wages. It's got nothing to do with the general law. The collective agreement should be followed. Or maybe he's had a higher salary when he became unionized. He's been grandfathered, as the expression is.
Yes, so he was. He was. Okay. Exactly. He made way more before union.
Right.
So oh, I see.
They stopped giving him any increases, but he's just waiting for everybody else to catch up. Unfortunately for him, he would still be making a lot more now.
Wow. Harjit, thank you very much for the call. That's really interesting, Howard. Maybe you can explain that. I haven't really thought in terms of somebody who works at a company before the union comes in. So this guy, they can't lower his pay when they unionize, I'm asking.
They could.
Okay.
But they don't want to kill his morale, and the union doesn't want to have a decertification vote, at least by him. So what they do is they grandfather him by keeping him the wage he has while everybody else catches up over the years.
And he just doesn't get increases until they're all making the same amount?
Look, any deal could be made that's possible, but I'm telling you a common deal, that's exactly right. He doesn't get any increase. He just stays there. So if he's making $25 an hour in 1998, he's still making $25 an hour in 2020.
In a non-unionized work environment, I think, you know, I've always heard through the years, oh, the company doesn't want anyone to discuss what they're making because they don't want people to know that other people are making more. And like, is that something that, you know, you said to Harjit, it doesn't necessarily mean he will end up making any more. So does the company really care if people find out that another employee is making more than them?
Sure. Because other employees will quit. They'll feel, people get angry. People unionize, in fact. Not because of their wages, but because of other people's wages, because they feel they're being treated badly. The manager's beating them up. Other people are being paid better than them. Other people are getting opportunities. Other people are likely to get future opportunities. That's what makes people unionize, and that's what makes people resign. That's what makes people angry and upset and hurts morale. So they don't want people to know because they don't want other people, A, to have some good bargaining leverage, even though they can't force them to give them an increase, don't even want to give them a leverage. But also, what's happening is that they don't want those employees to get upset and have the morale damaged and then maybe leave the company or not work as hard or be as productive.
But, you know, what you just said is so interesting, that people do that based on what others are making or feeling like they're not making enough, because people tend to be pretty happy until they find out someone's making more than they are.
That's exactly what I just said.
Yeah.
Simply.
I'm repeating it back to you because I thought it was so profound.
Well, you said it more profoundly than I did.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, that's absolutely right.
And I just think that's so interesting because it really does have to do with people worrying about everybody else and what their situation is.
Some of it is fair. And some of it is unfair. The part that is fair is it's not just that someone is making more than them. It's that if this person is liked more than I am, if this person is being paid more and is valued more than I am, what is my chance of ever getting ahead at this company? So that's actually a rational reaction to that data.
It's interesting. Go ahead. Sorry. I cut you off.
Well, but that's how it works. And I say, that's why people unionize. They don't unionize for job security. They don't unionize for wages. They unionize for equal treatment and better treatment.
Do they always get it?
First line supervision is a danger line of labor relations. That's why people unionize, because supervisors aren't fair to them.
Hmm.
And when people are getting unionized, my first question to my clients, my corporate clients, are, who are the bad managers? Maybe we want to get rid of them quickly. That might be what you need to end this union drive.
I have just about a minute left, and there was a discussion that we had the other night that I wanted to talk to the listeners about, but I also wanted to bring it up to you. And in fact, when we were doing the topic and people were calling in, somebody actually said on the air, I didn't think to get Mark to grab it, are you going to go running to Howard Levitt with this story? So here I am running to you with this story. And I thought it would be funny because of our different takes on remote working. But somebody was asking advice of other people and said that this person's working remotely and probably will remain remote full time going forward. And the question was, I'm wondering if I can get another job without telling my current employer.
You know how I'd lap that one up.
But does it, you know, a lot of people are saying, obviously, because this guy says, I'm thinking as long as I don't schedule meetings at the same time, I can work two jobs by doing extra stuff on the weekend, working later during the day. And I said, this is the kind of thing that Howard thinks a lot of people who are working remotely are doing.
I've had two cases where that's exactly what happened. Let me give you the one, the better of the two. We had a case, a national employer, we wanted to move the person from New Brunswick back to a city in Western Canada. I won't be more specific than that, a telecommunications company. And she wouldn't go. And she claimed it was a constructive dismissal. We argued whether or not it was constructive dismissal. When I got to discover her, I learned that she had four other jobs.
Wow.
And the reason she didn't want to move, as she finally said in discovery, she didn't want to give up her other jobs. Now, from the standpoint of my client, they thought they had a full-time employee. They had an employee who was at best part-time, and they never knew the difference because she was working remotely.
Yeah, but was she getting her work done?
They weren't giving her much work because she was, as far as they knew, fully busy with the work she had. Imagine what work she would have got done. That's the problem with remote workers. You're not really on top of them, know exactly what work they're doing, especially if there's multiple supervisors. Imagine how much more productive she'd be if she really did work full-time for them and she was paid to do. I have another case, and that's also what happened. The person was a speechwriter for a major professional organization, and she started writing speeches for other companies, which we found out later on. But people can scam if they're not around, and if no one's accounting, if they're not really accountable to anyone, and you're not seeing them, there's nothing stopping them from doing all kinds of other work that you'll never even know about.
All right, Howard. I gave you that one, and I knew you.
Did.
Yeah, I would give it to you. It's all fair.
It was a nice lob. Yes. Hopefully, home run it.
All right, we'll hear you tomorrow morning with Jerry. Thank you so much, as always.
Till next week. Bye bye.
Bye. Howard Levitt, Canada's top employment lawyer. I lobbed him that one, and he knocked it out of the park.